to the book of Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 through verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 through verse 7 this morning. I'm going to speak a message entitled, Return to Jesus this morning. What we see right here, Revelation chapter 2, is you'll begin the first parts of Revelation. Jesus Christ deals with the church, seven churches of Revelation. Out of the seven churches, only two were truly right. Five that he told to repent or else. We're going to deal with one of those five a little bit this morning. The first one he actually mentions right here, the Ephesus church. You know, they had right doctrine. They done everything right, but guess what? They had left their first love. They had departed. He wasn't where he needed to be in there no more. In other words, they were going through ceremonies and doing things, you know, seemed good. But when it come down to it, their heart, he wasn't where he needed to be in their heart. Revelation 2, beginning in verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and has patience for my name's sake, has labored, and has not faded. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast said, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now the heart of my message goes back to verse 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I'm going to speak to you this morning on the thought of returning to Jesus. Not only does this nation need to return to Jesus, but many in the church need to return to Jesus right here. Jesus was not, he was specifically dealing with a church right here, giving inspection to where they were in their walk with him. He told them what they done right, and he told them what they had done wrong, giving them time to get it in order and giving them a space to get things right. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. We honor you this morning, Lord, and we lift you up, dear God, today, Father, Lord. Today I ask for your anointing, dear God, to flow, dear God, upon me, dear God. Put your words inside of me, Lord, today, God, that you would have me to speak, dear Lord, today, Father, Lord. Lord, today, dear Father God, I pray for your hand, Lord, to flow in this service, God. Let your word go forth, Lord. Let it deal, Lord. Let the hearts of people be open this morning. We honor you, Lord, today, Lord, and we give you glory, God, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. The many people's walk with Jesus is just like a spare tire anymore. That's sad. Why? Because just like the Ephesus church, many have left their first love. They have what I like to call a spare tire religion, if you will. I want to talk to you about a spare tire for just a second and see how a motorist will carry one in the car, if you will. Although it's a necessary and immediate part of that machine, it only becomes necessary when you have a blowout or a acupuncture. For instance, the last time I went to North Carolina back in July, going down 81 on that Wednesday night in the middle of darkness, something flew and punctured the tire. Glad we had a even it was the donut tire. That's what it was there for. For at that time, you see, what it provided was insurance about not being stranded upon the side of the road, that I could get to the next stop. I could get to a hotel that night in order to get to a tire shop the next morning in that town. And I've been getting to think about how many are treating their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ just like a spare tire. When they need him, that's when they will use him. When they need him, that's all of a sudden, that's when they'll be calling upon him. When something goes wrong, that's when they'll be running towards him this morning. Well, let me tell you something this morning. I don't need him as a spare tire. I need him to be the vehicle this morning. Amen. I need to have that constant walk with him this morning. But the reality is, many are sitting on church pews this morning, just like the Ephesus church, going through the motions, going through the ideas. And let me tell you, but Christ is really not a part of their life. Many people have a form of religion, but deny the power thereof this morning. But the reality is, what's going on today is many are treating Christ even as a spare tire, if you will. Think about it this morning. Many got better things to do than to be in the house of God and giving him just a little bit of your time on Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. Instead, but if you go, many are out doing, going to and fro. The reality is, this morning Christ is looked at not as a necessity, but as a convenience. My Lord, we can go on and on, but I'm telling you today, in this day that we are living, the hour is here where Christ needs to become the necessity in our world, in our church today, in your life today. My Lord, if you want to see what has happened to our country this morning, you want to see what has happened in America today, we see anarchists burning buildings down. We see rioters and looters. We see them calling for the defunding of the police department. If you don't wear a mask in a store, some people liable to knock you out or spray something on you and things like that. This is a generation that is full of hate, that is full of evil, that is full of violence. And I'm going to say it, we got another movement that is moving forward in this land. You'll know it. I may get some heat for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. BLM is nothing more than a Satanist organization that bows down to him this morning. You study it out, you'll find out that there are chants to Satan this morning, but yet we've got churches that are supporting this movement. But this witchcraft movement, that's what it all boils down to. This anarchy movement. What has happened in our country today? What is happening in our church today? Many have left Jesus this morning. And I'm telling you this morning, house of God, people of God, it's time to come back to the cross of Calvary. It's time to come back and do the first works over again this morning. If you ain't been looking, let me tell you, this world is getting more wicked and wicked by the day side. Every day that goes by, the things that are happening, I'm telling you, I look and see some of the laws that California has just come into play. If you have not seen what California has come into play, they have put laws in the past where it's almost okay for man-child relationship, pedophilia. No wonder California's a burning today, amen? No wonder the cities are burning. and the places out there. I know that's strong, but you got to remember, California has come against churches out there. It's Oregon that has burnt Bibles in the streets of Portland, Oregon, and burning it. It's what's interesting. Last night I was looking on Facebook, and they showed what they call something I've hardly ever seen before. I don't think I've ever seen it like this. A tornado in California, but wasn't like a cloud tornado like we'd see. It was a tornado made of fire. My Lord, let me tell you, some would say, well, the people set these fires. Well, God can use man's elements against them also as well. But the problem is, in this day, America, the church, has left their first love. And I'm telling you this morning, I'm convinced right now more than ever that in this day and hour that we need a revival. You see, that's what Jesus was telling Ephesus. You need a revival. Understand Ephesus this morning. They had a right doctrine. They stood for what is right. My Lord, they would take a stand against those things that were not right. They tried these false apostles, people claiming to be an apostle. They tried them, found them to be liars. They hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which is a spirit of control, by the way. They didn't like those things either. But Jesus said, you're still not where you need to be. What it tells me is you can have right doctrine. You can stand against wrong things and still not be where you need to be this morning. Jesus was telling Ephesus, you need to come back to the cross of Calvary this morning. Jesus was telling them, you need to come back to your first love this morning. You see what began to happen right here. They had gone away from Jesus. They had put other things before him. To draw away from Jesus, if you will, is to draw your attention, your focus of faith into something else other than Christ and him crucified. They were trusting in their works more than they were trusting in Christ this morning. Amen. They were trusting in other things other than the Lord Jesus Christ. They no longer had the zeal. They no longer had the enthusiasm that they once did. They no longer had the hunger as they once did. My Lord, let me tell you, it seemed like to me when I began to read the Ephesus church, to many that were in that church, God had become nothing more than just like a spare tire. Ephesus needed a revival. The church in this last day needs a revival. Let me tell you one thing. I can tell you that if the church loses its love for Christ, the church will soon lose its light. Did you hear me? When the church ceases to love Christ, then the church will soon lose its light. I wonder if that ain't what's going on with many today. I wonder if that's the reason some of this darkness has come through, because many in the church world have lost their love for Christ, and now the light of Christ is not shining. You see, we need a revival. We need an awakening, if you will, for the body of Christ to go back and fall in love with Christ today. You see, I'm not talking about a revival of a series of services where we come through in just in a week and have a meeting, if you will. I'm talking about the church coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. How many can give the Lord a hand clap of praise in here this morning? God is so good. Amen. But let me tell you, if we don't come back, if the church loses its love for Christ, it will lose its influence. You lose your light, you'll lose your passion for lost souls. You lose your love for Christ, you'll lose your love for humanity. Amen? This is a godless society. I preached on it a few weeks ago. Ungodliness fills this land. It ain't that God's forsaken the world. It's people forsaking God. I said, before we start blaming it on what's going on in D.C., and they got some problems down there, we need to check the church out. Jesus dealt with the churches. It's hell in Ephesus. You need revival. You need to go back to where you once was. Leonard Ravenhill said it like this. He said these words, as long as we are content to live without revival, we will. As long as we're willing to go without it, we will. Amen. You see, I want to tell you why revival's needed. We got a moral problem in this country. Morality is at an all-time low. Not only in the world, but in the churches. Hello. They think abortion's acceptable anymore in some. Same-sex marriage is accepted in some. The world, there's a political crisis going on in the land. How many know in here in this country we got a political crisis going on in the land? You look and you'll see. You got an economic crisis that's going on in the land. Hello? We got all these crises affecting the land. It's interesting, though. If you study the first time that Christ came as a babe, these are the same conditions that were around as we see right now. Yeah, I believe in the rapture of the church. I believe in the moment in the twinkling of an eye, he's going to show up. And I believe the wickedness we see, the more it testifies that he's a coming. Amen? I was thinking the other night, thinking about my little girl. Well, now, she's something else. Let me tell you. 10:30 last night, I want a toy at Cracker Barrel. It's only $10. But I was thinking, my gosh, look at these little ones. Look how bad it is now. Can you imagine what it's going to be like if the Lord tarries it under 20 for 30 years? Folks, we need a revival. You see, I don't believe we're going out. I'm telling you, in places in this country, you're not seeing it. But there's revivals taking places here on the East Coast and on places on the West Coast as well. But I'm telling you, we need to awaken. I was reading this other day, how far many in the church have drifted away from Christ. Evangelical Christians were surveyed. They are abandoning their biblical beliefs just beyond. You don't even know if they're with evangelical anymore. 30% said they don't even believe Jesus was God. I got news for you. He's part of the Godhead. Him and the Father was one. Before Abraham was, he was. In the beginning, there were three that bear witness. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Amen? Godhead. He sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was made flesh. The Word was God. That's Jesus Christ. Many don't believe in that anymore. You see why we need revival today. It needs to return to Christ this morning. People need to return to the Word of God this morning. Let me tell you, we've abandoned the Bible for psychological things. Let me tell you, psychology can't fix spiritual things. How many know the mind's a spiritual thing? It can't fix it. The only thing that can fix it is the Word of Almighty God. Our Lord, we've abandoned the Bible for things that are silly and stupidity. We teach now in our school systems, they've evolved from monkeys. No, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God formed man out of dirt, and God formed a woman out of a man of a rib. That's how man came into existence. But listen, people have abandoned the Word of God. No longer have the Word of God in their houses, if like they need to. Our kids don't know the things of God anymore. Amen. Our adults don't know the things of God anymore. I've even heard some of these kids around here ask more questions, know more about God than some adults did. Some of these little ones around here has asked me questions I've never heard from an adult. I said, whoa. Whoa, somebody that age asking me some of the questions they ask. I said, my Lord, that's good. That's good. What would happen if the adults would get back into the Bible? Amen? See, not only that, I tell you, America was better when people went to church. Hello? Amen? I'm telling you, this country was better when we stood on the principles of Jesus Christ. This country was better when we stood on the principles of the Word of God. And this country was better when people came to the house of God. Am I right on that this morning? See, what's happened? People had dropped the things of God. They removed prayer. They removed the Word from our school systems. Now look what we got in it. We got drugs. We got shootings and killings. We got ungodliness. And lo and behold, if somebody gets into office that said that they want to have Islamic teachings taught in all of our schools, I've already said if they start teaching mine, I'll go to North Carolina, and I'll guarantee y'all you may see me on the news, because I'll go in there and tell them they, she ain't learning that junk. Amen. Amen. But our country was better when people would take time and come to the house of God. I'm telling you, you didn't see a land filled with violence. You didn't see it as bad as you did. Why? People have got away from God. And I'm not going to blame everybody, because a lot of churches close now. I'm not talking about on an occasion or two. I'm talking about every week, because we got two preachers that are too lazy to prepare sermons, to get on their knees before God and cry out to God. Let me tell you, I've never seen a generation that claimed to know Christ that didn't want to come to His house and worship Him. But everybody wants to go to heaven. And I've got an old statement I used to hang in the Robbinsville church down there. I don't know if it's still hanging there or not, but we had a clip and it said, if your faith ain't strong enough to get you to church, then it's not strong enough to get you to heaven. Let me tell you, this morning, we need to come back to the house of God. There needs to be a revival that breaks loose. People need to return to the cross this morning. Oh, Lord, I'm pouring my heart out. Houston Town, there needs to be a revival. There needs to be a revival in the Houston Town Church of God. There needs to be a revival in churches around us this morning. But more importantly, it needs to start in us this morning. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 85 and 6, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I want you to know this morning that God wants to revive you this morning. Oh, I want you to know that God wants to send revival this morning. God wants to send revival among His church today. Oh, let me tell you what Jesus was doing right here in Ephesus, and to the other churches that He condemned, that He had something against. You know what He was trying to do? He wasn't trying to be mean or bully, but He was trying to get them to turn. He was trying to get them to come to Him, come back to Him. He's trying to get them to repent. Let me tell you this morning, let me tell you some things going on. I believe God's message for this last hour that we're living in. And yes, I believe with all my heart that we are in the last closing moments of this hour. And I believe God's heart is to get as many people right as He can this morning. I believe He's calling out. How do you know that, preacher? People would say, where's the promise of the coming of the Lord? Where's the promise of his coming. I'll tell you where the promise of his, why he ain't slack concerning. They said, we've heard that since the very beginning, that he's a coming, he's a coming. I imagine we've all have. But the Bible also says he's not slack concerning his promises. Amen? But he is willing and long-suffering, willing that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. I'll tell you why he ain't come. Because, let me tell you, he's trying to get a few more to come to him this morning. He's got a call out. He's trying to get some people to repent this morning and accept him as Lord and Savior. He's trying to call some backsliders home this morning. Oh, did you hear me? But one day the delay ain't going to be no delay anymore, if you will. He's got a point of time that he's going to show up, and he's going to come for his church in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Ready or not, he is coming. You go on and read Revelation, you'll find out what's getting ready to befall this world. But Revelation 2 and 5 tells Ephesus, right there, he said, remember, uses that word remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. Jesus told Ephesus to remember where you was. Some of you need to remember when you were burning for Christ. Some need to remember when the Holy Ghost was using them. Some need to remember how God saved you one time. Some need to remember the hunger you once had for Christ, his word, the prayer, the church, and et cetera. We could go on. Some need to remember when your faith was in the finished work of Christ. You see, that's what I'm telling, Jesus was telling them. You need to remember where you once was, and you need to get back to where you was. You need to get back to that place where you once was, Ephesus. And that's making me your sinner. That is making me your first love. My Lord, help us this morning. See, there's a word that many don't want to hear no more. But I'm a little old school. There's a word that ain't preached, but I'm old school Pentecostal. No, I'm not that old. But I am old school Pentecostal, meaning I growed up, I'm getting there, 43, so. But I am old school Pentecostal. That means I'm classical Pentecostal. I believe in the old past. I believe in preaching it like it is. Love me, hate me, want to run a foot race. Want to run me a foot race. I don't lose sleep over it. But there's a word that people don't want to hear no more, because it disturbs them. They don't want to do it. And it is called repent. We got preachers saying there ain't no need to repent. Then if that's the case, one big televised preacher says, you don't need to repent no more. Forgive me. Where did you get that from? Because 5 of the 7 churches in Revelation, Jesus told repent or else. What did he tell them to do? He said, you need to repent and you need to go back to your first love. Let me tell you, and if we're going to have revival church, the church needs to repent. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, very familiar verse of scripture. If my people, he said, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face. Here's the key. And turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. Turning from their wicked ways is repentance. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. telling you, America, let me just say something. We need to turn back to Him this morning in repentance. I was thinking this past Friday was the anniversary of 9/11. A lot of people have forgotten that. I'm one that ain't forgotten it. Anybody else say I ain't forgotten that this morning? I remember that day. Amen. Every time I think about that day and I see where we're at right now, I see people that don't even remember, have an idea or a clue what happened on that September 11th, 2001. Let me tell you, we need to come back to God this morning. Ezra had a revival take place under him. How did revival take place? First of all, the sin was discovered for what it was. They were intermarrying with the heathen, Ezra 9:1. And they were committing the abomination, something God had already forbidden. Others were destroyed for it. In Ezra 9:1-2 right there, what you begin to see Ezra do, you begin to see him there. I'm just giving you a quick survey. You begin to see him grieve and tremble over sin. My gosh, the church needs to begin to tremble over sin this morning. Amen. I love the sinners, but I hate the sin this morning. Amen. Amen. I want to see people delivered this morning. Amen. Man, people say, well, you preach it. You must not know. You don't preach it because you hate somebody. You hate their actions this morning. Amen. Amen. I want to see people come to the Lord this morning. But Ezra began to tremble and grieve over the sin. When's the last time the church has grieved over the sin of the nation? Like Ezra did. When's the last time we trembled in the fear of God, if you will? But this was the first stages of bringing revival to the land right there. It was the beginning, if you will. What Ezra did then is he began to pray and fast, and you'll begin to see it become a national level. You'll begin to see as one begins to read in Ezra that people begin to fast and they begin to pray and turn from their wicked ways, and God brought revival to the land. My gosh, I believe. In other words, what happened in Ezra's day, there was a people that had turned from God, but God, they turned back to God. Amen. They repented. What would happen this morning if the church of Jesus Christ would turn back to Him? What would happen if we would get revival in us? Then I'm convinced revival would break loose in the world today. Amen? This world needs some good old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching. They need some people full of the Spirit of God this morning. This world needs to see the light of Jesus Christ. They need to feel the love of Jesus Christ. This morning. See, I believe that's the message of the hour right now. Is return to Him. I believe it's time to put Jesus back to where He belongs first. It's time to quit treating Him as a spare tear. I got news for you. If that's what you're treating Him as, He's either Lord of all or He's Lord not at all. He ain't a vending machine, but many treat Him like that. People have excuses why they can't, they can't, they can't. Well, start finding reasons why you can. Remember what Jesus said. I got this, I got that. Remember what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. What Jesus was saying there is, you put me first, I'll take care of everything else. That's what Jesus was saying right there. He ain't here. We ain't to put Him second fiddle. We ain't here to make Him a spare tear. We're here to make Him number one. Hey, man, I'll tell you why I'm in Pennsylvania. Yeah, most of you know my story. What happened? I got a little girl in North Carolina, but why have I been here this long? Because God's kept me here this long. I'm not stepping outside the will of God. Amen? Because he comes first. Then she'll come. We'll be going downstairs. But listen, you can't treat God as a spare tire. Parents, let me give you something. If you treat the things of God, if you play it, if you don't put God first, and you treat God as a spare tire, then how can you expect your kids to treat God number one? Amen? Amen? I ask you, I tell people this, parents, kids, you need to go to church. Are you going to church? Amen? Amen? It's like telling them to do something you ain't doing. If you ain't giving him holy, how can they do it? Okay, how can you ask them to do it? You know what the Bible says? If you compel them to go a mile, you need to be going 2 miles. Hello? It's what Jesus said right there. But what are you getting at, preacher? I'm telling you this morning, it's time we get back to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It's time we make him Lord and make him the first love again. Because I'm going to tell you, like I'm going to preach tonight a little bit. Because when it's said and done, fame and fortune, houses and mansions ain't going to mean anything. This world's temporary. Give me just a few minutes. I ain't got off stage yet. I ain't going much longer. But I'm going to tell you, the things we got, all this we see right here is for a moment's time. One moment is here. Next moment, it is gone. We're just counting up the people we'd known to pass just in the month of August to go into eternity. Boom. At least 10. I had a 41-year-old cousin. 41, I'm 43. We growed up together. Had a stroke, massive stroke. Died and went into eternity the 1st of August in Nashville, Tennessee. I don't know where eternity so is, but it showed you how quick things can change. See, all that matters when it's all said and done is Jesus. All that matters is Jesus. People get laid on your back, you'll find out what really matters. Amen? When you're grasping, all that matters when it's all said and done is that one they call Jesus of Nazareth. All this is great, but all this is temporal. All that, fine, that all this is going to perish, but he ain't. You always heard it said, you can't take nothing with you into eternity. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's one who will walk with you to the other side. He's the only one. His name is Jesus. But people, Jazz, you can go ahead and get Marcy. Yeah, but this morning I'm telling you, the problem is today is simply they don't take it seriously. They don't take their walk with Christ seriously. Jesus told us a parable in the marriage feast, if you will, in Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of God is like a certain king. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them which were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings, they are killed, and all things are ready to come unto the marriage. But listen to verse 5.
but they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm, one to his merchandise. Jesus talking about people not taking it serious. They made it light. Weren't paying attention what the king had done or was ready. Instead, they done what's right for them. What's pleasing to them. I got news for you this morning. It's exactly what many are doing. Oh, preacher, you still may not be taking it serious. I don't know. And that's between you and God, but I'm going to tell you right now. You mark it. You mark it. There's going to come a day you're going to take it serious. There's going to come a day when you're going to be faced with it. People are making too much of a light out of it. This ain't no play. This is a reality. Eternity is a reality. Church, it is a reality this morning. Heaven and hell are real. Oh, but I'm a good person. I ain't worried about being a good person. Hell's full of people that haven't been a good person. There's none good. No, not one. Jesus said that. The question is, are you born again? The question is, if you're backslidden, you need to come back to the cross of Jesus Christ this morning. You see, Ephesus had lost the first love. You know what else? Jesus said, repent or else. That or else means there's consequences if you don't. How many parents have told your kid to do this or else? You know what it told us? Some of us kids little may have been like me a little bit when I was little. Let's try the what else. Would you like that, Justin? No, I was probably one at heart. But you don't want to try the what else when it comes to the Lord this morning. Amen? Amen? But it's real. The reality is this morning that people need to take Jesus serious. That your life here is just a vapor. It is. Oh, I got plenty of time. No, you don't. You don't know that. I told you. My 41-year-old cousin, master stroke, going into eternity. Just like that. I go to 9 other people we counted up the other day, going in. Just this past week, another somebody in North Carolina passed. My cousin's husband, she had already passed, but he passed just the other day. That quick. But also, let me tell you, that quick, the rapture of the church could take place as well. It's ain't a thing to make light of. God's calling people back to the cross. God's calling people back to Him while you got a chance. Opportunity exists right now. We don't know what holds this evening, but He does. You know, as being a child of God, let me tell you, I've told this church this, but there's some here that haven't heard this. I know a missionary that said, I feel safer walking the streets of Haiti than I do streets in a major American cities right now. Let me tell you something. We don't know what's going to happen in our streets of America. But I'm not going to sit here in fear because I know whose hands I'm in. Amen? Because I know that I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know what would happen today. Something would happen to me. That I would wake up on the other side in His presence. I know what would happen if the trump of God would blow. That I'd be called out of here to be with Him. To escape what is coming. See, I'm telling you this morning. People need to come to, you either need to come to Jesus, or there's some that need to return to Jesus. You can stand if you want to, but every head bow and every eyes closed this morning. I'm not going to push nobody, but I'm going to tell you, if you've been spiritually dead, God can bring life back into old dead bones this morning. He can produce life this morning. He can bring life this morning. He can produce life this morning. Somebody may say, I need Jesus this morning. Is there one in here that say, I need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? I want to know this Jesus that you're talking about. I want to know this Jesus that you're speaking of this morning. Let me tell you something. Some years ago, I was one of the meanest people you had ever met. But I got Jesus got a hold of me and changed my life around. Is there one in here that say, preacher, don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. He's calling you this morning. There's one that says, I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior this morning. I want to know Him on an intimate basis. Is there one? Is there some that says, I need to be revived this morning? I need to come back to the first love. I need to return to you. He's calling you this morning. I want to give you an invitation to respond this morning. Maybe by uplift of hand, as one would say, I need Jesus this morning. Is there one that would say, I need to come back to Jesus by uplift of hand this morning in here? Is there one? Maybe, church, your heart ain't where it needed to be this morning. Maybe you've drifted a little bit. He ain't where He needs to be, your first love, this morning. Christ is calling you this morning to come back. I want to open these altars for those that want to come and seek the face of God this morning. This morning. Ask the Lord to help you this morning. Go ahead and play mercy. Let God have His way.